Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 16th, 2017. And this is a big, big day because this is the day that Brian Chaffin's iPhone finally gets delivered.
Yay!
Yay! I'm actually really happy for you.
Thanks.
Because it's been rough knowing that every time I talk about the iPhone X, that I have to take the extra time to rub it in that you don't have one.
Yeah, I know it's a burden.
It's a burden. So thank you for lifting that burden from my shoulders. John Martellaro, how are you?
I am annoyed that my doesn't arrive until December 1st, but
I bet it shows up earlier.
I'm thinking it might, although I haven't seen a notice. Earlier. It already got backed up from December 11th to December 1st. I'm hoping this pipeline thing backs it up further, but we'll see.
Well, yes, we will see. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox, the company that does some really great stock photo, audio, and video footage, and I'll be talking about them soon. But John, as you are already kind of in a ranty-ish mood, before we started the show, you were getting all kind of hot and bothered about Apple software updates. What exactly has you upset about Apple software updates on the Mac?
Well, the backdrop is that on September 25th, I wrote preparation guide for macOS High Sierra installation. And there's some things that a thoughtful person should do before doing a major upgrade. You have to check your app compatibility. You have to check your system integrity. You have to make sure that you're backed up properly and that you've attended to some technical details before you just willy-nilly go do an upgrade. But Apple has this apparent philosophy of, oh, life is beautiful. Everything's great. Just click here and upgrade. And so just this morning, I saw Adam Angst's article at Tidbits yesterday about Apple starting to push High Sierra on unsuspecting Mac users. That's Adam's title. And that really pissed me off because that's something that even an average user would do without some forethought. I mean, everybody knows.
You mean when you get the little dialogue that just pops up on your screen and says, you have updates, do you want to install them now?
Yeah, the notification. And so if you're not careful about how you click on that, you could find yourself in the midst of an hour-long forced update, which you would be concerned about trying to abort. And so Adam talks about what's going on, verifying it, how he detected it, what you can do to stop the update by properly responding to the notification. You click on details, and then that takes you to the Mac App Store, where you then quit the Mac App Store to make sure you don't accidentally start the update. What's interesting here is that I think Apple can be enthusiastic about having people do its updates, but it has to be handled in a proper way. If it's a security issue, I can understand the delicacies of that. I mean, every major update has important CVEs that are range from mild to crucial. If there's something that's really, really crucial, Apple's caught between a rock and a hard place because they don't want to advertise and make a big deal out of it. Otherwise, people will seize on the idea and say, oh, yes, that reminds me. All these Mac users are updated. There's a vulnerability, and it's a big one, so I should go after it. On the other hand, if Apple keeps quiet about it, people think that there's no real need to upgrade. This is an important opportunity for maybe some machine learning and some artificial intelligence where the Mac operating system can sort of diagnose the severity of the situation, do some rummaging around to see what kind of app compatibility is in place to alert the user in a more intelligent way about whether it's time to think about an upgrade, and then walk them through the process instead of trying to apparently, if I may paraphrase Adam's article, trick the user into trying to do the upgrade. That really annoyed me.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how this is different from any other macOS upgrade that Apple has had in recent years. Because I that's something I recall seeing. The little dialogue pops up and you have updates and you install them or not. So I don't know if I like the idea of calling this a way to trick people into upgrading to a new operating system.
Well, if you overtly go to the Mac App Store, you would see the next version highlighted at the top. Mm-hmm. And there is this constant tension about the update button and what it does. And if you click on more, you can open up a list of all the updates that are available. And you can pick, you know, suppose you want to update iTunes or you want to update just Safari. But if you update all, it could actually encapsulate the next version of the macOS upgrade and do the whole thing at once. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be careful about that. And so I had to walk my wife through that and make sure that she knew how to click on more to say, I'm only going to update iTunes or only Safari or only one of my other apps. So I'm not, upon reflection, I'm not real happy with the grace with which Apple presents the opportunity to do a major system upgrade, especially when they do a notification and you have to keep saying, well, I want to do tomorrow. I want to do it tomorrow. I want to do it tomorrow. There should be some better leverage over that to make the user have in his mind what's sensible to do now and what can be delayed.
I'll agree with you that they need to do something to address that because I routinely see people running Macs that are still on Yosemite, and not because they have some aversion to new operating systems or they think Apple's trying to scam them or, you know, nothing like that. It's just they just don't get around to doing it. They don't think that it's important, and they have other stuff that they're doing, so they just don't. And now there's a bunch of people out there running Yosemite.
I just got an email this morning from a fellow who was asking me about the support for Microsoft Office 2011 in High Sierra, and that was one reason why he was holding off. It's unsupported, and those apps in Microsoft Office 2011 will probably generally work, but there could be gotchas. Mm-hmm. And you might have a concerning error or maybe possibly a loss of data. I don't know for sure, but Apple doesn't take into account the state of your system when they invite you to do this upgrade. And I think that's an opportunity to work more closely with the user in some fashion.
All right, Brian, do you think it's Apple's responsibility to inventory all the apps on your computer and then decide if it's safe to upgrade?
No.
I wouldn't go that far.
That's kind of how it sounded, though.
Well, I said opportunity for a more intelligent way to do it. In other words, if Apple knows, if a little intelligent agent system on your Mac can detect that you're running Microsoft Office 2011, why would you invite the user with vaguely nefarious trickery to upgrade with enthusiasm for the upgrade, knowing that the
system... Because it's not Apple's responsibility. It's the user's responsibility to know what they have and to know what they're running.
It's Apple's responsibility to manage you through the update process in a knowledgeable, aware way so that you can make rational decisions along the way rather than saying, oh, there's an update. Click here.
I've got an answer. Got an answer to that, or got a response brewing.
me,
Balderdash. So, listen. Mm-hmm. At some point, people have to be responsible for what they're doing. I mean, like, this is like, I've never heard you argue for Apple becoming like the computer nanny. I've never heard you argue like this. I mean, this is, I mean, like, I don't even understand. I don't understand where any of this is coming from.
Our systems are so complicated and people have a hard time understanding all the interconnections, interdependencies of their system. They see something from Apple and they say, oh, Apple says I should upgrade from Sierra to High Sierra. Great, I'll do that. And then an hour later,
there you go.
They find out that half their apps don't work anymore. And they wonder what's going on, and then they call Apple support. And Apple says, well, not our problem.
Because it's not. update your apps.
Yeah. Update your apps.
That's what we do. We write articles like that article I wrote about the preparation guide. We explain to people how to do these things, how to do it the intelligent, sensible way to prepare. Here's the things that you're supposed to do. So we're giving people the knowledge that they need to be armed. But there's always a fraction of the people out there who don't see those articles.
Well, no, there's a lot of people that don't see those
articles. And they think that when Apple suggests an upgrade, that they should just go ahead and do it.
Most Mac users are not paying attention to the Mac web, and they're not even reading the broader technical articles.
More important for Apple to more gracefully step you through the upgrade rather than just simply drop it on you and say, oh, life is wonderful. It's glorious. We had a new update out. You should update your entire operating system. And by the way, you're going to go from HFS Plus to APFS, whether you want to or not.
I think
have fun.
Who are you? I don't even understand where any of this is coming from, man. Like I can't get into your head here at all.
I think that developers of apps are in a much better place to let their customers know if they're having a problem, a compatibility issue with a new Mac operating system version. And for the majority of the apps that I use, if there is a compatibility issue, I'll get the little dialogue that pops up for the app, like when I launch it or whenever it's going to happen, that says, hey, there's an update out. Here's the things that it fixes. And one of the things it says is compatibility with the operating system.
That's so 20th century. Why can't Apple maintain something like app compatibility database and have
why would Apple want to take on that liability?
No kidding.
That's crazy, man. No, this is crazy. There's massive liability. Are you kidding? Any mistake, people would like, well, Apple said. I mean, Apple cannot possibly make itself responsible for third-party apps like that.
And there's many apps. And for the apps that are in the App Store, like the Mac App Store, Apple's telling developers, you need to get your apps updated for the new operating system. Here's the date when you need to have your updates submitted.
There's no uniformity. Sometimes it says there's apps updates available, but it's not necessarily an update that's compatible with the next major version of the operating system. So you have to go to the website, and then you have to go to support, and then you have to check and see
what
versions of the operating system
Mac
are supported.
App Store. Not just all apps, just the Mac App Store. So for that, you know, there's a system in place where Apple is saying, hey, look, you need to have your updates done for the new operating system. Here's the date they need to be submitted by if they're going to be ready for launch day. And I think that's about the best that Apple can do. I cannot imagine Apple or any other company wanting to try and maintain a database of all the applications.
Well, there's lots of important apps because of their richness of character and because they're not compliant with the sandboxing and have to do certain things that can't be in the Mac App Store, like the full version of Graphic Converter and Carbon Copy Cloner and Microsoft Office that don't live by those rules.
And it's up to those companies to get everything updated. Apple can't be everyone's babysitter.
I don't think it's a question of Apple being a babysitter. I think it's a question of how Apple conducts the invitation to upgrade your operating system and how they do that, and whether there is opportunity for misunderstanding and a bad click that drops you into an upgrade mode you didn't want to be in. That's the issue.
To hear what our listeners think.
Brian, you read my mind. Listeners, here's the deal. I want to know what you think. Is John's take on Apple's update process totally on, or is he like way off base with this? So let me know. You can do that by sending tweets to at TMO Daily. You can shoot emails to observations@macobserver.com. And then you can also leave comments in the show notes, because I'm curious what you think. I'm pretty sure you know what I think, which is John's wrong. But I'd want to know what you think. And if I'm wrong, let me know, because I'm totally cool with that. All right. So we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox. And VideoBlox, I've been playing with their service for a little bit. And what I like is that when I go to look for stock video or stock photos, you know, for example, and I do my search, you get the whole search thing, but then you also get these buttons that run across the top of your search that are like filters to narrow down what you're going to see. So, like, let's say I decide that I'm going to search for Colorado mountains. And so I get all these, you know, like thousands of mountain shots, then I'll have these buttons across the top, and it could be like summer mountains, winter mountains, mountain ranges, and different, you know, different areas. And it's great because then I can really narrow down that search easily and quickly to the type of content I want to find. So I'm not getting overwhelmed with everything, which, you know, I suppose for some people, you could get overwhelmed because they have over 150,000 videos, they have over 100,000 audio clips, and thousands and thousands of photos, and then there's more content being added all the time. So, you know, it's nice to have some filtering that makes it easier to find what you want. All the content that they have, it's just been like top-notch. I've been really pleased with everything that I found. And I love that it's all royalty free, so you can use it for personal or commercial use, and that's totally cool because that's what you're getting with your subscription. So here's how this works: it costs $149 for the video service, the audio service, or the image service per year. But right now, and by the way, that price is insane: $149 for all the content you can get from a service like that. That's unheard of. But it gets better because as a Daily Observations listener, you can get the triple bundle from VideoBlox. And what that is, it's all three, the video content, the audio content, and all the image content for $149 for a year. And it's as much as you can download, and it's all royalty-free. And you can just keep using it forever. It's awesome. The catch is, and it's not really a catch, it's just something to be aware of. The deal is good in November and December only, so you need to make sure that you go and sign up before the end of December. So here's what you need to do. Go to videoblox.com/TDO for the special offer. You get that triple bundle with video, audio, and images for the one price, $149, and that's for a full year of unlimited access to all of those. So go to videoblox.com/TDO. That's VideoBlox.com/TDO. $149 for all that content for a year. Just make sure you do it before the end of December. And thank you to VideoBlox for being our sponsor today. Okay, we have a couple minutes left. So, John, since you spent the first part of the show complaining, we'll wrap it up with something different, me complaining. But my complaints, what I'm looking for is to see if you guys think that that I'm right with my complaints or if I'm off base. And here's the deal. When I wrote my iPhone X review, I had a section in there that I said, or that I called, and now the complaints. And I listed off some stuff about the iPhone X that was bugging me. The first one is that I pick up my iPhone and like it feels like at least half the time it's upside down, meaning that the Face ID sensors are at the bottom edge of my phone instead of the top edge of my phone. And I'm calling this Apple TV remote syndrome.
So now I was wondering about the phone around
in my hand.
Excellent.
So that I can do Face ID, because Face ID doesn't work when the phone's upside down. And that's just like a really annoying thing for me. So am I off base with that? Or am I just being a prima donna complaining about this?
No, I think you're right on.
All right. Yep.
You're right on. Yep. Face ID should, it's not like the phone doesn't know that it's upside down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean that's right. Actually one of the things that iPhone does is it knows its orientation.
It knows its orientation. Yep.
And it could do a little squeal like turn me.
Well, no, it should just do what it needs to do software wise to interpolate the data and reverse the what it's look at it different. You know what? It's scanning you wrong.
It's scanning me wrong.
The iPhone is scanning you wrong.
Yeah, that's what it is. With my iPhone 7, I had a visual and a tactile cue when I picked up my phone, the home button. And I could see where that home button was, so I knew what orientation the phone was in when I would pick it up.
And can you not see the notch when it's off, when the screen's off?
Oh, no. It's just this flat, glossy glass surface.
Yeah, then that's ridiculous.
I was talking to Jeff about this earlier. One thing that can help with that is by having a case that isn't too symmetrical, like maybe one of those cases that has an aperture in the back for the Apple logo shining through, or maybe a case that has some sort of coloration or differentiation so that when you pick it up, your visual estimation of this orientation of the iPhone is immediate rather than having a very black and symmetrical case.
That would be one way to address the problem. The way I would like to see this addressed is what Brian said, which is the phone figures out its orientation and just does what it's supposed to do.
Maybe the hardware in there, even though you might be able to reverse the face map, I don't know. Maybe there might be a hardware issue. Why wouldn't they do that if they could?
Well, I totally get that.
I would imagine it's
every camera I've used, if you turn it upside down, it doesn't work anymore.
Okay. First of all, that's funny. Second of all, it could be that it is doing what it should be doing, and that it is still scanning you. And the reason why it's not working is more of an issue of where the camera is pointed, because
now it's scanning down. My chest or my chin instead of my face.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's not scanning you wrong. Maybe you are holding it wrong. But the problem is that we need some kind of cue. I think what it's going to come down to, Jeff, is learning how to use the buttons on the side as the cue.
I think you're right. That's going to be my cue. So I'll have a tactile cue. I just won't have a visual cue.
Right. And to be fair, when I pick up my iPhone 7, I think I'm using my thumb to feel for the button a lot more than I'm looking for it. At the very least, it's quite often, especially if because I often don't look at my iPhone to know which orientation I've got. And the reason being because I'm using Touch ID in the first place.
Right. Yep.
So, this will probably require just learning to use a different tactile cue.
Yep, I think you're right. And in the meantime, I'll complain because I can. All right, we'll have to talk about other complaints that I have about the iPhone X later because we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good stuff.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Mr. Ranty Pants signing off.
Listeners, let me know how wrong John is. I mean, what you think.
Or how right I am.
Or how right he is. Yep. Shoot me a text. What's that Twitter thing? The tweet. Send me a tweet, an email, or comments in the show notes. We'll have to revisit this and we'll pass judgment on you, John.
As always.
Yeah. Hey, VideoBlocks, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and get their stock video, stock audio, and stock image services, all three for $149 for the year. Just make sure you do it before the end of December, because that's when the deal ends. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.